Well, thank you. Please be seated. I'm going to invite you to take your Bible as we come to the Lord's table tonight and go in your Bible to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah, we'll turn to maybe the most well-known of Isaiah's what are called the servant songs that tell about the Messiah, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 53. And tonight, as we come to this, the Lord's table, we will consider the first three verses of Isaiah 53. Let me read them to you. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. This is one of the servant songs in Isaiah's prophecy, each of which foretell of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The last time we were around the Lord's table, we began a series in this psalm. And the song actually begins not in Isaiah 53, which is very well known, of course, but it actually begins in Isaiah 52, verse 13, and goes through the end of the chapter, verse 15, and it tells of the Lord Jesus' mission. But tonight, as we come to the Lord's table, the portion of scripture that we just read tells of the Lord Jesus' rejection. And this stanza of the song begins with questions. Now, it's not unusual for a song to begin with questions. What can wash away my sin? What's the answer? Yeah, nothing but the blood of Jesus. So the song asks the question, then answers the question. Or maybe you know the song, I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? Another song with a question. And this song, as other songs do, starts or has in its second stanza a question. In fact, there are two questions. The first is a question of receptivity. You'll notice again, who hath believed our report? The Messiah is coming. Will you believe the report when he announces or is announced? And then there's another question that is asked. It's a question of recognition. When the Messiah comes, will you recognize him as he is revealed? So the Bible asks the question, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, the rest of the song is preparing the world to recognize and receive Messiah when he comes. And I ask you this as you think about it, as you think about the record of the coming of Jesus, and you think about the record of his life as it's recorded in the Gospels, do you think that by and large the Jewish people were ready to receive him when he came? No, by and large. Really, is the world even now ready to receive him when he comes? And so there's this description that comes after the questions that are asked. And this description of the Lord Jesus Christ tells of his pedigree. And when you think of him, look how he's described in verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. There's nothing special about him. He's just a little plant that comes out of nowhere. He's a root that comes out of the dry ground. There's nothing about him. It seems like his existence is inconsequential. Just like the root of the plant that's struggling in the Judean barrenness. So Jesus comes. That's his pedigree. But then we're told about his appearance. Again, verse 2, we read, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Oh, he is does not come in as a stately individual in any way. He's not majestic. He's not the a man with the kind of demeanor, the charisma that immediately drew people to him. No, indeed, he came in simplicity and really in, except for the announcement of the angels, in many respects, anonymity. And then you'll notice, as you think about the Messiah that would come, we are told of his pain. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of man, rejected of men. Oh, he knew the pain of rejection. But there's something else about the pain that Jesus bore beside the pain of rejection. And I think every one of us just living in life, we know what it is to be rejected. You know the sting of it. But yet, I want you to notice the pain of his burden. So we read again in your Bible, verse 3, he's a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know what's interesting? That Jesus was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, but at the same time, he was also a man who was known for joy. In John chapter 15, Jesus tells about the vine and the branches. He gives this discourse about abiding in the vine. And as you abide in the vine, he's the true vine. As you abide in the vine, his life then goes and flows through your life and you bring forth fruit. And Jesus said, verse 11 of that discourse, he says, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might be in you. So Jesus is known as joy, but at the very same time, not only his joy, but the sorrow that he bears is known. He's a man of sorrows and grief. And in all the joys that he experienced, there is the burden of the cross to come. There is the burden of rejection. There is the burden of his passion for people to know him. And there's this joy and sorrow that he experiences simultaneously. And I guess it's true, you have time with your children, with your family, and you enjoy the time together. But sometimes while you enjoy the time together and you're grateful for the time together, do you know that experience that you have when you know that one of your children isn't on the right track? And at the same time, you're enjoying your kids, but there's also this sense of sorrow that you bear at the very same time. And I'll say there are kids as well that know this with their parents. They enjoy the time with their parents, but they also know if mom or dad isn't on the right track, at the same time there's a sense of sorrow that goes with it. And yet, I think that must be how, in a very small degree, the way it must have been for Jesus. And oh, how Jesus knew the pain of rebellion. And so we read these words in the third verse. He was despised and we esteemed him not. The only hope for the world, and yet the world rebelled against him to their own hurt as well as to his hurt. And when we come to this table, I'm going to turn, you don't need to turn there, but I'm going to turn in my Bible to the New Testament, the first chapter of the book of John. When John describes the very events that Isaiah foretold, John chapter 1, I'll begin reading verse 11. The Bible tells us this, that he, that's Jesus, came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, this table before us is a gathering place. It's a gathering place for those who have received him. We who are children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come to this table, and it is a family celebration of the one who has redeemed us, who's rescued us, who's reassured us. We come to this table looking back in gratitude for the cross, We come to this table looking ahead in anticipation of his coming. And we come to this table looking inward. It's a time of self-examination in our fellowship with God and with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, as we prepare for this table, I'm going to invite you to, the word should be projected if you would like a hymnal. It's number 197 in your hymnal. And we're going to sing the song, Lamb of Glory. In a moment we'll stand, I'll have you stand with me and we'll sing it together. Let me explain how we partake of the Lord's table here. If you are a born-again person, you are saved. And between you and God, you are right with God. You are welcome, even though you may or may not be a member with us. You're welcome to join with us in the Lord's table. That is your decision. And so, and when we stand to sing in just a moment, if you would not feel comfortable being with us in the Lord's table and participating, you're welcome to slip out. That's fine. Now, remember in the First Corinthians chapter 11 that the Apostle Paul was dealing with the church at Corinth because they had forsaken the Spirit in their of the Lord. And were really disrespectful to the Lord in their practice of the Lord's table. And whenever Jesus or the Apostle Paul dealt with him, with this church, he reminded them all, but let a man so examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In fact, he said that in their congregation, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And he reminds us, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And really, before we come to the table, in your church email, I sent you a note preparing you for the Lord's table. But before you come to this Lord's table, this is a time for you to examine yourself and ask God the Holy Spirit, am I right with you? Is there anything in my life that needs to be revealed that I need to make right with you? Of course, the heart of God is for you to make it right with God. And then, so let him eat this bread and drink this cup. But if in your own heart you will not be restored to the Lord in fellowship and you'll continue in your own rebellious way, may I encourage you to pass along the plate when it comes to you, because the Bible tells us, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. And in so doing, you do not want to further bring yourself into condemnation and judgment of the Lord. So I would encourage you to pass it along. But really, the heart of God isn't for you just to be obstinate. The heart of God for you is to be restored in fellowship and partake of the Lord's table. All right? In a few moments after we sing, we'll give you those few minutes of quietness to go before the Lord. But in the meantime, let's do this. Would you stand with me? Let's sing together a song from our hymnal. It's 197 if you need it. Lamb of Glory. Let's sing it. Hear the story from God's Word and prophets heard. There would be a sacrifice. Christ the Lamb, praise.
worship the Lamb
of glory.
You may be seated. Let's take a few moments of silence and search our hearts before we serve the Lord's table. So God, we praise you for the Lamb of glory. And at this time, we come with such gratitude. Oh, it never grows old to think of the cross, our Savior giving himself in love for the world and bearing sin's reproach. And yet, to see his love and his agony on our behalf, to know that it's just a few days and in power he comes from the grave alive. And we who have put our faith in Christ, we have new life. Lord Jesus, you are worth all. And we pray that this would be a great time of remembrance and renewal for us as we gather around this the Lord's table. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Men, would you stand? Serve the bread. Let's sing Victory in Jesus.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning, then I repented of my sin, won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever, and bought me with his redeeming blood. I loved me ere I knew him, and all my love plunged me to victory.
This song, like so many gospel songs, ends in heaven. So let's sing that last verse of it. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory.
I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels sing, and the old redemption story.
Some sweet day I'll
sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him.
You may be seated. Wonderful hymn, King of my life, I crown thee now. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be.
Lest I
forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thy agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Then the last stanza of this song becomes a challenge for all of us. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily thy cross for me. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee. Even thy cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thy love, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
I'm going to sing just one more verse, not of this song, but of another great hymn. It's When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on my pride.
For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Men, would you stand and serve the cup?
Thank you.
Would you be free from your burden of sin?
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you?
You may serve the cup.
Power in the blood. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. In its life-giving flow, there's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious of the Lamb.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah.
You may be seated.
Holy One. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Let's sing another verse.
Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb, Messiah, oh, for sinners stained. Thank you, oh, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work.
And then we'll sing one more song. We'll sing My Savior's Love. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus a Nazarene.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, the sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love.
And the scriptures remind us that after the same manner also he took the cup,
And when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new testament or covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And then the scriptures remind us, For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Let's stand and sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. 'Twas blind, but
when we've been there 10,000 years,
when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began.
And all God's people said, Amen. Good night.